And our first story is about these mass deportations. And there's so much to say about it, but just briefly, I want to touch on this tonight. This is your cherry on top. If it wasn't good enough that we are now in a full-fledged war with Iran, bombing them thousands of times, it's a war of choice that nobody wanted. It is exceedingly unpopular. To add insult to injury, at the same time that we are getting a war with Iran, the mass deportations continue to be rescinded, continue to be pulled back. And today there was a new development. This is an exclusive from Axios. They're reporting on the Republican retreat that was held at the Trump Doral in Southern Florida this weekend. Now, for those that don't know, every year the Republicans gather together. They bring the whole conference into town and they strategize for the legislative session and for the upcoming election. And so all the Republican House and Senate members are there, or a lot of them, and they're talking about their game plan for 2026. And they're basically holding a strategy meeting and they're getting into gear because it's about to be a big election. One of the things that was said at this all-conference retreat where all the Republicans are gathered, the deputy chief of staff from the White House came to this convention and told them explicitly and specifically never to use the phrase mass deportations for the rest of the year. He goes there, all the Republicans are gathered, and they're all thinking about, what are we going to do this year? What are we going to run on? What is our branding? What's our messaging? And a representative from the White House, Deputy Chief of Staff Blair, comes down and says, whatever you do, don't say mass deportations, because that's not going to work. He said, instead, we got to talk about how we're only removing violent criminals. The latest in a long line of statements like this that have come out from anonymous sources in the administration that have been said explicitly by the president and other personnel, it seems that mass deportations are really over. It's really dead. This is a story. This is from Axios. It says, quote, White House Deputy Chief of Staff James Blair privately urged House Republicans on Tuesday to stop emphasizing mass deportations and instead focus their messaging on removing violent criminals, according to sources in the closed-door briefing. Blair delivered the message during a policy listening session with House Republicans at their annual retreat in Doral, Florida. He encouraged members to focus on deporting violent offenders rather than defending the broader concept of mass removals. The advice signals a recalibration by the White House and reflects growing concern among Republicans that Democrats are successfully framing Trump's immigration policy as overly sweeping and indiscriminate. Blair also told members to go out and find real Americans to highlight wins in the GOP sweeping legislative package passed last summer. Okay? So this is only the latest. Let's take a little walk down memory lane. It was in the first week of January of this year that we started to hear about this. There was a big piece in Axios and elsewhere from anonymous sources in the administration that the White House was going to recalibrate and they were changing their strategy on deportations based on the same information. They said, we're looking at the favorability, we're looking at the approval and the opinion surveys, and they were coming to the realization that mass deportations might be a stinker in the midterm elections. So in the first week, literally the first week of the midterm election year, they start telegraphing. That's what that is. They plant a story in the press, and they start telegraphing that they're going to change the policy. Then you had the deaths of the protesters. You had the lesbian poet and then the male nurse. Both got murdered or shot or killed. What? Who cares? Okay, they died protesting in Minneapolis. Huge protest nationwide. Wall-to-wall coverage from the media. And then we got a statement from Trump himself. And Trump showed up at a press conference, and this clip has actually been making the rounds again. This was in mid-January. although I think people believe that he said this yesterday, Trump went to a press conference at the White House and said, we have to lighten up and we're not doing mass deportations for all those innocent people that have been here for 20 years working on farms and luncheonettes. Remember that one? He said, and we're only going after the violent ones. Then a couple weeks after that, there was a Fox News interview where they asked Trump, are we still doing mass deportations? And he said, no, we're only targeting the violent offenders. It's not a mass removal. Only now in March does the White House basically say directly, you get the deputy chief of staff, that's a pretty high-ranking figure, James Blair goes to the annual retreat of all the Republican congressmen and says, yeah, like we're dropping it. We're quietly dropping it. We're done with that. We're not running on that. We're not talking about that. It's over. So how many months has Trump been in office? I think we're up to 15 months in office. 14, 15 months. We don't have mass deportations. It never happened. We had debatably between 230,000 at the low end, 360,000 removals at the high end in 2025, which is nothing. Okay, that's nothing. If you're deporting 230 to 350 or 360 every single year, what does that bring you up to by the end of 4 years? Maybe you get a little bit more than a million removals overall? Again, all you need to know is the math on that. Biden let in 10 million. If Trump only deports 1.2 million, well, then the deficit is like 9 million. In other words, we've only deported 10% of what Biden brought in just 4 years. That's not even to say anything about the pre-existing illegal immigrant population that was already there, which is why we elected Trump in the first place 10 years ago. So we're talking about in 4 years, only reducing the illegal population from the previous 4 years by 10%. And we can't even get that because now, just 15 months in, they're already dropping it. We barely got a full year of what they tried, which is what they called mass deportations. They're already dropping it. And they say, now we got to recalibrate and change it up. Now, why? Ask yourself, why did they do this? It's not for lack of trying. I know there are people in the administration that are trying. There are a lot of good people in the admin. No one can tell you otherwise. There are good people in Border Patrol. There are good people in Homeland Security. There are good people in ICE. And they're as mad as you are. And they're as mad as I am. And they're trying every day to get the deportations up. There's people in all the departments that are concerned about this. So concerned that they're actually putting out a distress signal. I've heard there are people in the administration, they actually want people like me to raise hell. They want people like you and people like me to express our dissatisfaction. Because on the inside, in Washington, they are being outvoted and outflanked by other people in the administration or by Trump, who doesn't see it as a priority. So there are good people in the admin that are trying to do it. Last year in the Big Beautiful Bill, they allocated something like $90 billion for ICE alone. They had a huge carve out. I think it was closer to $200 billion in total for all of it, for border security, for deportations, for personnel, for lots of different things related to immigration enforcement over a period of years. So they did try. They allocated the money and we got our guys in the admin and, you know, you got people pulling every day, trying to get it in the right direction. It's not for lack of trying. So why didn't they do it? Some people say it's because of constraints, personnel constraints, infrastructure constraints, political constraints. Well, they got the money now. You know, they hired 10,000 ICE agents. They're buying all this land and all these buildings to detain illegal immigrants. Well, we all know the real reason. It's the reason that James Blair said at the retreat this weekend. Why are they walking away from mass deportations? Because it's politically unpopular. Why did they retreat from Minneapolis last month? Why did they pull the thousands of ICE and Border Patrol out of Minneapolis? Why did they basically give up on those patrols and sweeping raids, which they were doing? Why did they start putting body cameras on ICE? Because of public opinion. Because public opinion turned against mass deportations. And that happened because the media was attacking it. And that's because people were out there demonstrating and protesting. And they were attacking law enforcement. And the violence was escalating. So in a word, it was because of political pressure. Public opinion and political pressure. It's a midterm election year. Everybody's up for re-election. It's a must-win election if the administration wants to continue to accomplish its goals. So they said, we gotta walk it back because of politics. And some people say, well, we have to understand. We have to be understanding about this. Here's my problem. At the same time that you're walking away from mass deportations because 49% of the population thinks they went too far, the same administration plunged us into a war in the Middle East against Iran, which has actually half of the approval rating as mass deportations. What is the approval rating for the war in Iran? 27%? It's a quarter, maybe a third at most? So think about it. It's a midterm election year. We can't do mass deportations. It's a political loser. Half the country's against it. The media is covering it nonstop. So we have to stop what we're doing. The exact same week, the administration says, we're going to war in Iran, and we might put boots on the ground, and we don't care how unpopular it is. We're going to launch another war in the Middle East in contravention of all of our fundamental principles and campaign promises, and we don't care how much it escalates or how long it goes on or how unpopular it is, because this is what we have to do. And you say, wait a second, so what happened to the midterms? What happened to favorability and approval ratings? And when it comes to mass deportations, well, that's politically not feasible. Well, we can't do that because half the country's against it. We can't do that because that's going to turn off the midterm voters. So I hope you'll understand, but you need to lighten up and you need to let it go. But war with Iran, well, you know, we don't care how unpopular it is, and maybe we're risking the midterms, but it needs to be done. And who is to stand in the way of the U.S. military and its strategic objectives? What does that tell you about how the government works? What does that tell you about how MAGA works? How the Republican Party works? This is the same story playing out over and over again. How many times have you voted for immigration restriction? How many times? How many times did you vote for Trump because you care about immigration restriction? 3 times? How many times have you voted Republican because you care about immigration restriction? 5 times? If you voted in 2016, 2018, 2020, 2022, 2024, you voted 5 times. For immigration restriction. And by the way, that's Trump's most popular issue. When you look on an issue by issue basis, what issues are Republicans winning on? Immigration, number one by far. It's like 80%. 80% of voters support Republicans on immigration. And at one time, mass deportations were popular. Immigration restriction for all immigration was popular. They had the mandate, and this is why the Republican voters vote for this. And yet, all 5 times in every legislative session, in every Trump presidential term, what are the voters told? They're told, well, we'll do it the next time. We'll do it after the next election. I've witnessed it every single time. In 2016, Trump got elected to build a wall. Do you know what the Republicans told him? They said the best we could do is $1.6 billion for a few hundred feet of fence in the Rio Grande Valley. And that's not even an exaggeration. That is what happened in 2017. That is what happened in 2018. I watched it. And Trump shut down the government twice. He shut it down twice in 2018 to force Republicans to fund his border wall. And each time in the omnibus bill and the minibus bills, the best Republicans could do was $1.6, $1.8 billion little packages to build a little bit of fencing in the Rio Grande Valley, and that was it. But you know what they did do in 2018? Corporate tax cut. You know what they did do in 2018? They pulled us out of the Iran nuclear deal, the JCPOA. So think of this conceit. Think of this construct. The voters supply the votes for immigration. And then when Republicans win, because of those votes, they turn around and don't give it up. They say, well, you got to keep voting in the next one to actually get it. The Jewish donors and the corporate donors that supply the money to get out the vote, well, they get everything they want on demand. Corporate tax cut, delivered. Delivered. Quantitative easing or low interest rates, delivered. On demand. Rip up the JCPOA, move the Israeli embassy, designate the Iranian Revolutionary Guard a terrorist group, on demand, every single time. The Adelsons put up $100 million in 16. They put up another $100 million in 2018. And what do they get from 18 to 20? More. They got more. Qasem Soleimani was killed. They finally got the embassy to be fully constructed and completed in Jerusalem. Every time they get something. And that's why every time they re-up their contribution. Every time they give, they get. So they give the next time. But with the voters, it's the inverse. Every election, the voters give and they don't get. And they're told, you gotta vote again to get. Keep voting and eventually you'll get something, like we're chasing the prize on a fishing line. This is the dynamic, and this year was no different. Maybe I'm crazy, okay? Yeah, I know I'm crazy. I just want to burn it all down. I'm a plant. I'm a Democrat. I'm irresponsible. I'm a radical. Whatever, right? Call me crazy, but I seem to remember that at the RNC, people were holding up placards that said mass deportations, not war with Iran. At the RNC on the first night, all of those voters, all of those Republican delegates, they were holding up placards that said mass deportations, not remove violent offenders, not net negative migration, and certainly not bomb Iran 3,000 times. Well, we're now 15 months in. The next election approaches in just 8 months. We don't have them. We don't have the mass deportations. And now, with 8 months to go, 3 months in the legislative session, the Republican conference is being told, we're recalibrating. We're done. Mass deportations isn't going to work on this one. It's not going to happen. They say, you want mass deportations? Well, you got to vote another time. Another time? 16, 18, 20, 22, 24. Impeached twice. Indicted in four jurisdictions. 116 years in prison. Shot in the fucking head. And we got to vote another time so that they'll even try to keep the promise. This is what I'm talking about. And this is how, and maybe you could say, in an alternate reality, maybe people could tell you, and you might be convinced, well, there are political realities. Well, we can't do it. We need to win the next election, and that's just the way it is, and you need to grow up, and you need to be mature about it, and you need to make compromises, and politics is about what's possible. In an alternate reality, maybe that would be a reasonable counterargument. But how can you possibly say that when we're in a regime change war in the Middle East with a 27% approval rating? Because the math isn't mathing on that one. Mass deportations were too unpopular, but a war in Iran isn't? Mass deportations still have a majority of the country supporting them. It depends on how you phrase the question, and it depends on the survey, but the majority of people support mass deportations. It is half of that number of people that support the war. And yet we get one and not the other. Why is that? It's the same reason why inside the administration, you have a lot of people in the administration that want mass deportations. And you got a lot of people in the administration that want a war with Iran. Why do you get one and not the other? vote for Trump to get our guys in the admin. Well, our guys, they're either slacking or for whatever reason, they're getting blocked from doing what they need to do. And those other guys that are not ours, those other guys, they seem to get everything they want all the time. Why is that? Why is it that Kurt Mills got it so wrong? You know, I remember last year, Kurt Mills from American Conservative, he's a really cool guy, actually. He's got a really cool leather jacket. He dyes his hair way darker than it should be. It's really cool. Kurt Mills last year, when Israel bombed Iran, first of all, he assured us that would never happen. Then when Israel started the war, he said, well, we're not going to get involved. That's not on radar. He goes, that's not on radar. He said, everybody relax. I know people in the National Security Council. I know people in the Pentagon. I know Bridge Colby. And they're not going to bring us to war in Iran. Trust the plan, guys. Steve Witkoff isn't fucking around. He's a really good negotiator. Remember that? And then we did bomb Iran, guaranteeing that we would bomb them again, because obviously, I don't need to spell out the math for you. I've only done it every single show for a year and a half. Why did he get it so wrong? Because he overestimated the value of our guys being these middle, low, senior level bureaucrats inside an administration controlled by Zog, controlled by the Jews. It's kind of what it is. All these clowns in media and in DC, they all know a guy. And everyone's running the shadow government. Well, I know a guy in the admin. I know a guy in PPO. I know a guy in DHS. I know a guy in the White House, in the whatever. I know a guy. Everybody knows a guy, dumbass. You think that the 5,000 political appointees in the administration, you think those people actually make the decisions? They don't. The president makes the decisions. The senior level people make the decisions. And those decisions flow from the actual seat of power, which is money. Money, intelligence, and foreign states. And you thought that because you're, you know, Dan Caldwell, that fat fucking shovel-faced retard, Dan Caldwell, who got fired like a bitch, and then cried about it on Tucker. Yeah, I'm talking to you, Dan Caldwell, you fat shovel-faced idiot. You look like the fat kid in the Sandlot, fatty. They think Dan Caldwell is going to stop Zog. He's going to stop the protocols from being implemented. The Jews have been planning this for fucking 6,000 years, literally. Okay, the wizards in control of international Jewry, the rabbis that are levitating and animating golems in Prague that have been planning this with the help of the diabolical forces for 6,000 years. You thought Dan Caldwell was going to shut that down with his rosy red cheeks? His endomorphic physiognomy, jolly restrainer, a jolly little restrainer. You think he was going to stand in the way? Me and my buddies are in Pete Hegseth's office. They're going to tell him not to go to war with Iran. Good luck. What are they going to do next? Stop the hexagonal storm on the southern pole of Saturn? I mean, what are they going to do next? Well, what are the posters going to do after that? After they stop Greater Israel and the war in Iran, after they shut down Zog, what is Dan Caldwell going to do next? Huh? Is he going to use numbers? Is he going to use magic? Is he going to use the left-hand path to stop the rotation of the storm on Saturn? Is he going to break us out of the cube, out of the physical realm? It's time to come back to reality. Okay, Kurt Mills, okay, Orrin McIntyre, all of you plan trusters, time to come back to reality here. It's not going to happen. The bureaucrats, the posters, mid-level people, they are not in control of anything. And here's the lesson. So let's switch it up then. Your solution, it didn't work. You tried it. It didn't work. You failed objectively. You were wrong. You failed. Your approach, it's not working. Okay, Trump won the election. He won the popular vote. Your guys are in the admin. They got fired. They got outflanked. They got outranked by Jewish donors and fucking Laura Loomer. And now we are in a war with Iran while they walk back mass deportations. It's deja vu all over again. We already saw this movie. I already saw this movie. I know you got red-pilled after the pandemic or something, but we've already seen this movie. We watched it happen. So it didn't work. It failed. It's March 2026. We have no mass deportations. They're walking them back, and we're in a war with Iran. So maybe it's time to try something else, okay? Maybe it's time to try something else, like we send a message to the GOP by going out strongly for the Democrats or not voting in 26 to blow them up, and they will be blown up. You know that. The Democrats control Congress. They're going to use oversight, and they're going to go after everybody, and I can't wait. And in 2028, we don't give up our vote for nothing. We don't give up our vote to J.D. Vance, who disappeared. By the way, where is J.D. Vance? Where did he go? It's so weird, isn't it? J.D. I love how his wife says his name, don't you? She goes, J.D., like that's a word and not two letters. J.D. And they're trying to create this image of him like he's this friendly guy. He's this friendly, amicable guy. What? Hey, that's the kind, even though he's fat and ugly, he's the kind of guy that would give you a ride home from work. He's the kind of guy that would play Halo 3 with you all night and drink Code Red Mountain Dew, right? JD, where the fuck is this guy? The most online vice president in history, throwing himself in front of the cameras always, doing the Charlie Kirk show at the Charlie Kirk Memorial at Turning Point USA America Fest. Throwing himself in front of everything, getting that fat, ugly face in front of the camera as much as possible, getting ready for 28. Where did he go? JD, are you under there? Are you under here? Are you in here? Where did he go? Have you ever noticed that whenever the Trump administration totally shits the bed and fucks up, that JD Vance is nowhere to be seen? Like when the Epstein files were released, and then JD didn't tweet for like 2 weeks. Remember that? You get 3 million documents that come out about Trump like eating fecal matter out of babies' intestines or something, and Bill Gates having an STD from Russian whores. You're reading all this crazy stuff, and then our extremely online poster in chief, our extremely online based Baptist vice president, he follows Curtis Yarvin on Twitter. Well, he just stopped tweeting for 2 weeks. Where did he go? Must be in the same place as Hunter Biden's laptop. Now we're in a war with Iran yet again. Nowhere to be seen. Where is he? Where did he go? I love it. And you're telling me that's going to be our guy? That's the guy who's going to win in 28? I don't think so. It's either him or it's Marco Rubio, Mr. New American Century. It's either going to be Never Trumper, Evan McMullen voter, fat, ugly guy, or it's going to be Marco Rubio, New American Century, Miriam Madelson's puppet. Maybe it's time to try something different. Everything is related to everything else. You have to see how all of this is connected. You have to see how all of this points in the same direction, okay? Because it really all does. All of it does. The media, the politicians, the war, the oligarchy. You think it's many different things? It's all one thing. You have to see that. A lot of people look at this administration and they say, well, there's some good and there's some bad. And we got to take the good and work on the bad. But it isn't like that. It's all one thing. Okay? We're not getting, do you want to know why we're not getting mass deportations? Because the same people that want the war with Iran don't want the deportations. The Wall Street Journal is very bullish on the war. They hate the deportations. And when Trump was deporting people, the media was covering it every day. Remember when the stuff was going on in Minneapolis, every day the media was talking about that toddler with his little stuffed animal, and it was Bad Bunny at the Super Bowl, and oh, these poor protesters that were killed, right? And the Wall Street Journal said this is bad for the economy, and the New York Times said this is another Holocaust, and the Washington Post said this is the worst thing ever. So they forced Trump to back down. There were protests everywhere. It was all over Instagram. All these liberal bitches on Instagram were putting on their story. Send resources to the immigrants. Don't be performative. Never seen anything like it. Not for a few years. Now we're at war with Iran. No mass protests. And the media loves it. Hillary Clinton today said Trump is awesome. Hillary Clinton literally went out today and said, this second Trump administration's great because he realizes we need to work with our allies. And there's no protests and there's no liberal bitches on Instagram talking about resources. And there's no public outcry. There's no pushback. The approval for the war is a huge deficit. It's at 27%. Nobody cares. No one's even talking about it. It's the same people. The same people that don't want their slaves to be deported, the same people that don't want their cheap immigrant slave labor deported, because those are consumers and cheap workers and basically bodies, well, those actually are the exact same people that want a war with Iran, that want complete control over the Persian Gulf, that want to eliminate Israel's rivals, that want to control this energy zone. It's the same people. So we have to stop voting for those people. Trump is those people. When Trump is holding court with Larry Fink and Jamie Dimon and Mary Madison and Mark Levin, he works for them, okay? They influence him. He is the boss of the posters that are in the government. You thought Dan Caldwell was and Bridge Colby were going to be steering Pentagon policy. They answer to Trump. Trump answers to them, to the billionaires. So voting for Trump against all of your best judgment, you know, voting with your heart and not your mind on Trump, hoping for the best, hoping that we're going to use the power of friendship and magic on Twitter. We're going to use the meme magic to meme our way into the golden age. That's just not how it works. You need to vote for a candidate who's going to take the war to these people. That's the architecture that's going to work.